Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long bringing it to 8 o'clock. Now talking to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Appreciate his time as some major news for the Bayou Bengals coming out. Boy, oh boy, the action never ends, Zach, especially from baseball to the football team. You are never a dull moment. I know you're always busy there at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, my man. First of all, I appreciate you for having me on, as always. Love coming on and talking ball with you guys, but it's supposed to be a slow time with LSU sports right now, right? Obviously, baseball season's over, coming off of a natty, but recruiting never stops, does it? Sitting here, you got some LSU football buzz, obviously baseball transfer portal. It never does stop with LSU, does it?
Yeah, two big names today. They missed out on J.J. Bush, but Trent Henderson joining the purple and gold. What you got to say about him?
Yeah, Trent Henderson is a massive, massive commitment for this LSU program, and I know some people are going to sit back and talk about the J.J. Bush news and whatnot, and Arkansas came in the 11th hour and made a big-time push on the NIL front to kind of sway his commitment their way, and relationships and that NIL figure ultimately paved the way there. But going out and getting a player of Trent Henderson's caliber, a top-five edge rusher in America, a five-star out of Florida, it's a big-time addition for this LSU defensive line moving forward. It propels this 2026 recruiting class into a top-five overall class in the current cycle. It gives you a guy who's a big-body player on the edge that can get in the backfield and wreak havoc. He's already 6'4", 225, 230, a guy who has tremendous physical tools, and a player that this LSU staff is really high on. So to go out and lock him in and beat out the likes of the Florida Gators, Texas Longhorns, et cetera, it's a big-time addition for this program moving forward.
You look at some of the other moves with this Bayou Bengals squad and Brian Kelly. How do you feel this 2026 class is looking right now?
Yeah, man, it's shaping up nicely. You got to be a little bit more selective nowadays with the new revenue sharing and whatnot. So
right.
You got to be a little bit more careful and tedious in your recruiting process. But LSU has an elite staff with Brian Kelly's recruiting personnel really making some big-time moves here. You're going to start to see a big string of kind of fireworks in July, right? You're going to start to see some big-time moves. June kind of set the stage. You had double-digit official visitors, and now you're going to start to see those efforts pay off come July. So 12 commitments to this point in the 2026 class, sitting there with the top-five class overall, and I think it's just starting for this program.
Zach, what's kind of the timeline of what's next? You kind of mentioned July, but, you know, with the off-season recruiting cycle, it really never ends, and as Steven mentioned, your job continues going. But what can kind of LSU fans expect next from this 2026 class?
Yeah, man, it's that July 4th week, and that's when a lot of people like to pop and make those decisions. And for this team, I'm kind of sitting back and circling July 10th, and that's when Lamar Brown, the coveted five-star defensive lineman out of Baton Rouge, is going to make that decision. This is the top-ranked athlete in the country, a guy who plays both sides of the ball in the trenches as an offensive lineman and defensive lineman, but the current expectation is that he plays defense in college. So you're going to kind of sit back and await that decision. LSU is going to kind of continue to battle down the stretch against Texas A&M. It's a two-team race here for that number one athlete in the country. And Lamar Brown is about as coveted of a recruit as they come kind of right now, that top available guy. LSU hasn't circled. They hit it out of the park on that official visit in June. And now it's about closing the deal here and getting him locked into this 2026 class. They're making a big-time push. But for me, man, I'm sitting back and counting down those days till July 10th and see what happens with Lamar Brown. Certainly one that this program is intensifying their pursuit for.
Jay Johnson, LSU baseball coach, has been busy as well, not taking any breaks after winning the Natty, especially, you know, the transfer portal picking up three lefties, man, Santiago Garcia, Ryler Smart, and also Danny Lockenmeyer. What should Tiger fans know about these three, you know, southpaw arms coming in?
Yeah, Jay Johnson has certainly placed an emphasis on going out and attacking the portal to get some guys on the mound, and obviously specifically with the left-handers per se. So they've gone out and gotten some three big-time names. Ryler Smart is a guy who came in and redshirted during his first season at Tennessee, a guy who was recovering from an arm injury, but one that has tremendous upside, a top 25 overall left-handed pitcher coming out of high school in Texas. Then you add in two other guys, of course, and, you know, Danny Lockenmeyer from North Dakota State, and so on. So they're making some big-time moves there on the mound. And then you factor in the two other additions that they've gotten, a pair of infielders who can really rake at the plate, man. These are guys that can make an impact in a bunch of different ways with Braden Simpson from High Point. And then you can look at Seth Dardar, who's a New Orleans native, went to Holy Cross High School, started off at Columbia, made his way to Kansas State, and really dominated over there for the Wildcats. Ultimately decided to enter the portal, and here he is, going to Baton Rouge, coming home, and playing for the Purple and Gold for his final season of college ball. It's certainly a nice story. Who doesn't want to play for the Purple and Gold as a Louisiana native? And Seth Dardar gets to do that now.
You know, another Louisiana native just recently entered the transfer portal, Zach. And Mike and I were talking about it in the 5 o'clock hour. The interest or potential interest in Cardell Thibodeau from Southern, who was the SWAC Player of the Year this past year. He spent the first couple of years at UL Monroe. But this past season, just having a breakout year, hit .435, 71 RBIs, 18 home runs. The combination of power and speed, though, because I mentioned the 18 home runs, and he has a crazy like .828 slugging percentage this past season with Southern, but also 23 stolen bases as well. And, you know, Zach, I remember we talked with you about this last summer when with LSU and Jay Johnson going out and get Danny Dickinson right from the portal from Utah Valley. And we had all these people like, oh, you know, what is Jay doing going out and getting this small school player? If they feel like they can play in the SEC and contribute to LSU's program and be a fit with the Bayou Bengals, Jay Johnson's going to make sure that every base is left unturned to make sure he can get this guy into the program. Just want to get your thoughts about the potential interest in Cardell Thibodeau, who was, I know, kind of a late entrance into the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Charlie, because you've seen them go out and get guys from the mid-majors, like a guy in Danny Dickinson and himself, and going out and making a tremendous impact for LSU this year. You got to factor in that Jay Johnson is one of the most strategic head coaches that I feel like I've ever been around. A guy who knows ball more than anybody that there is, and is extremely passionate about the player development side of things. And we saw that with Danny Dickinson really start to evolve his game midway through the season in SEC play. He really rounded the corner and was making some big-time plays there. So kind of bringing it back to Thibodeau, this is a guy who obviously dominated for Southern this year. The numbers speak for themselves, like you said, Charlie. So when it comes to interest, certainly he's going to hear a myriad of schools kind of battle it out for him. It'll be interesting to see if LSU gets involved there, just because obviously he's a speedy, twitchy outfielder, a guy that is obviously going to shine in the outfield at his next destination, of course. And LSU's got Derek Curiel back, Jake Brown, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see how they play that moving forward, but certainly a guy that's going to receive a ton of interest. I'm very intrigued to see if LSU gets in the mix there for sure.
You know, building off of that, I'm curious, Zach, the MLB draft's coming up soon. Tigers are going to lose some guys there, and it's a question mark on a few pieces that could end up staying. But if do you think that Jay Johnson is looking to still add some more guys here, is there a position in mind or two that you think needs to be addressed on this Tiger squad?
Yeah, I think for me, what it ultimately comes down to is stacking some more power hitters in the infield. You're going to lose Jared Jones, obviously. You lose a guy like Danny Dickinson, et cetera. And yes, you went out and you get Braden Simpson through the portal. And yes, you go get Seth Dardar as well. But continuing to go out and evaluate some infielders to add some depth is key for me. And then getting some more left-handed pitching. Yes, you got three guys so far, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not quite sure they're done on the mound with those southpaws, man. So keeping options open there is going to be of the utmost importance. Holding on to a couple of these signees is obviously critical moving forward. You want to kind of paint some depth on this team. So I think getting a couple more infielders is key, and then going out and, of course, collecting some more southpaws, whether it's your signees or through the portal.
You know, Jay is always a tireless recruiter. Zach, I think we told you this story that we were interviewing him, I believe, last week or a week and a half ago or something around there. And while we were interviewing him, he was at a recruiting visit with a player and bringing in someone from the portal. I don't remember exactly which player it was. It was someone that has committed, by the way, but I just don't remember. But this is a guy. And the cool thing with Jay, with his recruiting pitches, is not just, you know, and we'll see where Cade Anderson goes in this upcoming draft if he's the number one overall pick, but getting guys to the majors is one recruiting pitch that he can obviously throw to mostly transfer portal players, but also as far as freshmen and playing freshmen, giving freshmen playing time right off the bat. We just saw Derek Curiel was named the National Freshman of the Year by D1 Baseball. Obviously, Cason Evans was a first-teamer as well in that category too. But there were also other different freshmen that contributed throughout the season as well. So if you're good enough to play as a young player, and this is probably his pitch to high school recruits, you know, this is the spot to be because we'll play you and we'll let you develop with our program and eventually become a draft pick in the MLB. Jay Johnson feels like he has a step up on some other programs because he's willing to take that type of risk with young freshmen if they're good enough to play. And then also in the transfer portal, bringing them in, developing them, and then turning them into draft picks.
Yeah, man, undoubtedly. And to your first point about Jay Johnson just being a tireless recruiter, I mean, man, we saw him get a commitment during a rain delay in the NCAA tournament, man. Like, this guy is relentless. He doesn't sleep. Everybody loves to talk about it and say and kind of push that narrative, but obviously it proves to be true with the rosters that he puts together. And, of course, two natties in three seasons. So he's a relentless, relentless recruiter. And then, of course, you get your guys to campus, and Jay's proven that he's not afraid to play those youngsters in those big-time moments, whether it was Cooper Williams this year, throwing him on the mound in a big-time clutch moment. We obviously saw Derek Curiel put together a historic season, throwing other guys in like Cason Evans, who emerged as that third weekend starter for the program. So if you're capable of getting on the field and he believes in you, you're going to get that chance. This isn't one where, you know, you're going to come to campus and sit. If you've got the juice, Jay Johnson's going to put you on that field and give you your moment. And we've seen that time and time again. So, Charlie, to what you're saying, of course, it's a big-time pitch. If you're good enough to get on that field instantly, he will play you. And that is definitely a pitch when it comes to the recruiting game and pulling your name out of the MLB draft and obviously getting to campus as a signee.
You know, we're about 12 days out, Zach, from the 2025 MLB draft. I just wanted to make you call your shot a little bit. Is Kate Anderson going to be the number one overall pick this year to Washington? I know that if you ask Jay Johnson, he has a very firm answer on that. But you see it from different sites. A lot, basically unanimously, a top three player in this upcoming draft class. And if you're Washington, you know, the pitching side of things, you could maybe use a little bit of a boost there in talking about it. An MLB-ready guy in Kate Anderson. So just wanted to get you to call your shot. Is he going to be the number one overall pick? And I guess kind of a secondary one here, Anthony Ianson, kind of a borderline first-round pick. Is he going to hear his name called in the first round as well?
Yeah, look, if you ask Jay Johnson, he's going to hype up Kate Anderson as much as possible for good reason. This is a Louisiana native who made his way to Baton Rouge and lived the dream of kind of etching his name in the history books as a Tiger. So obviously his time in Baton Rouge was special, and now he gets prepared for this next level. And if you ask me, it's hard to not be a homer. Just because being around a guy like Cade, he's a special player and a special person. And truthfully, I think the Nationals can continue to draft better and better each year. They've proven that, obviously, with Dylan Cruz, et cetera. So for me, if I'm calling my shot, I'm going to have to sadly sound like a casual here and say, yeah, man, I think Cade Anderson's the number one pick in the 2025 MLB draft. I think he's special. He's got the juice from the left side. I mean, he's fantastic. I think that he's going to be a guy, obviously a consensus top three pick, but for me, I'd like to hear him go number one, of course. And then fast forward to Anthony Ianson. This is a guy who's proven it. The proof's in the product, right? He came in and you essentially had two aces as your weekend starters with Cade and, of course, Ianson kind of going back-to-back, that 1-2 punch. Like you say, he's a fringe first-rounder. I think he's got all the talent in the world. We'll see which team kind of pulls the trigger on him. But for me, I definitely think he's a first-round talent. And I think you could definitely hear his name towards the back end of that first round come this month.
Zach, definitely appreciate the time, man, especially on the heels of the big news of Trenton Henderson committing to LSU. I know you were a busy man. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us.
Yeah, my man, of course. I appreciate you guys. You have a good one.
Thanks, Zach.
Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Make sure you check out all his great work there.